From the KBIA newsroom in Columbia, this is Intersection, Conversations in Our Community. I'm Sarah Shariari. This week on Intersection, we're talking about the Columbia Police Department's Community Outreach Unit with Sergeant Michael Hester and with founder of the Youth Empowerment Zone, Lorenzo Lawson. So what is community outreach policing? How does it look in Columbia today? And why is the city investing in this kind of policing? That's what we're going to talk about today with our guests. Sergeant Mike Hester leads the Columbia Police Department's Community Outreach Unit.
What we're trying to do is get back to a style of policing where we have time to have some give and take and interact with the community. What it looks like today is the Community Outreach Unit has six officers assigned. They work in two-person teams, and the city identified three neighborhoods that they wanted to invest more resources in. So there's like 138 criteria in the selection of those neighborhoods, and we comprise the very small portion of public safety.
And which neighborhoods are those?
We refer to them as our central strategic neighborhood, our north strategic neighborhood, and our east strategic neighborhood. They're part of the city's overarching strategic plan, which runs from 2016 to 2019.
And what does community policing look like as compared with standard policing as we think of it?
Sure. So our patrol officers, what most people think of when they call 911 or see a cop on a traffic stop, those guys and gals are running pretty much call to call. So their depth of investigation or time to connect with citizens is greatly reduced by the waiting workload. Our community outreach officers are not tied to that radio and dispatch rhythm, so they may encounter someone and spend the rest of the day trying to help that one individual or that one neighborhood. And so what that looks like is us partnering with healthcare providers, mental health providers, drug abuse counselors, substance abuse prevention, but we will spend the time it takes to try to make an individual or a neighborhood a little better off than we found it. And our regular patrol cops are just, you know, they're showing up for a burglar alarm that's gone, so they go to the next call, which is a car crash. Then they're going to a burglary or an assault, and they're just constantly getting bounced around. The community outreach unit officers have time to invest in people and neighborhoods and bring in outside resources that your typical patrol cop doesn't have the time to wait on.
And so is the goal to sort of build a relationship between the police and improve trust between the police and the people in those communities?
Absolutely. You know, we get out on foot because we're there to stay for a while. We get out and talk to people where they're at. We've involved ourselves at school functions that are fed by our strategic neighborhoods, and we'll go to the schools and just talk to the kids when everything's going right. And we'll get out and talk to parents and grown-ups in the neighborhood before there's a problem. And we feel like that's a way to let people get to know us and to get to know the neighborhood, and you learn a lot. And most importantly, you connect as human beings. And I think that's what's lost when our officers just have to go call to call to call.
Do you think that people are responding to community policing? How long has the program been going on in these neighborhoods?
The program initiated in Douglas Park about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then in April of last year, I was made the supervisor of the unit. And I think it's going great. We hear constant positive feedback from people in the neighborhoods. You know, there's people who have had bad experiences with individual officers or with an incident. Nobody likes to get a ticket or get arrested. We understand that.
Right.
But what's great is we have citizens calling us ahead of problems. We have citizens like at Douglas Park, for instance, throwing out a guy who showed up high, who was threatening not only the police but other members of the community that were at the park, and the folks gathered up and said, "Get out of our park. We don't want that kind of nonsense down here." And that's a win for the whole community. And no police officer had really even taken action with that. And that really, those kind of incidents like that, little kids that come out and wave at us and talk to us, and then their moms and dads come out and get to know us. And the next thing you know, instead of us driving through a neighborhood and people giving us the middle finger, they're coming out and saying, "Hey, how's it going, Mike?" And that's a win for everybody. On so many levels, it's hard to describe.
And I know that the Columbia Police Department is underfunded, essentially. Proportionally, it doesn't have as many officers as other communities of similar sizes. Where does the funding for community policing come from? How does it exist in this environment?
Well, part of it came from the patrol budget. In other words, the patrol officers that you typically think of as driving around in a police car. So we took the six personnel from patrol. The city council approved some funds to become available to us to pay for, like, we've had neighborhood barbecues that were really just kind of mixers for a big area. You know, do you know your neighbor? Well, no. Well, come to this barbecue and sit down and talk. And that was really an enjoyable and positive time. But the funds come from the regular police budget. It's kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul at this point.
So Columbia Police need more funding for the health of the department and the community policing program.
I think so. You know, what I hope is that in a few years, all Columbia police officers will be doing business the way that our community outreach unit is doing business. In other words, they have the time to invest in individuals and neighborhoods and areas rather than I got to get to the next call and the next call. And by the way, if you're on patrol, that means you might go to a burglar alarm at, say, Providence and Grindstone, and then your next call could be at Bodie and Currituck. And then your next call could be Lake of the Woods, and your next call could be downtown at Providence and Broadway. So you're doing a lot of commuting time, which I think is very inefficient. If we could get some teams of officers kind of more focused on an area, that would help the community. Nobody likes to hear it, but our department is underfunded. At the time of this interview, there's probably more people waiting to address the lunch rush at the McDonald's on Clark Lane then we have patrol officers out for the whole city.
Mm.
So there's more people waiting to cook hamburgers than there are to answer your 911 call or go to your crash or help you find your child. And that's a problem for the community. Policing's never a popular budget item. It's not as much fun as, say, a park or anything else really the city does. We all like our good roads, and they do a great job of that. It's necessary. And we're going to have to catch up. You know, we're just getting further and further behind.
Where did the idea for the community outreach unit come from?
You know, originally when I was assigned this, we had two officers that were just put into Douglas Park. And I didn't think that was a great investment of manpower. However, it did decrease crime in Douglas Park. Lieutenant Jeff Jones and I sat down and we looked at the mayoral task force on youth violence report that they had created. And we came up with our mission and goals based upon that, you know, kind of like let's incorporate what this task force found out is good stuff and let's see how we can apply good community policing models to our city. And that's where the idea came from.
And what is a good community policing model? What makes it something that can be effective?
You know, I think good community policing has to be where the citizens feel like they have input to the police activities, and that they trust the police when they do law enforcement activities. In other words, when I go get a flu shot, I don't want it to hurt. But the healthcare provider knows that a needle is probably the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's been lost between the community and the police over time is we need their trust, and they deserve it. They deserve to trust us. We need them to let us do policing functions. And a good community policing model looks like collaboration, participation, give and take both ways, feedback, and effectiveness at reducing crime and increasing safety in a neighborhood.
And I know across the country, a lot of the problems between communities and police also seem to be divided along racial lines, you know, white police, African-American communities. Is that something that you've seen in Columbia, and is community policing addressing that sort of distrust between people?
Absolutely. You know, there's lots of reasons that the black community may not trust the police. Number one, the police have made mistakes in the past. Number two, they've been told that we're untrustworthy. And when we're so busy, we don't have time to stop and regain that trust. So me as a police officer in Columbia, Missouri, I'm white. If a white officer, let's say in Minnesota, does something, that is held against me. And that's perpetrated by social media, the media at large. And when I say perpetrated, I mean it's this narrative that, oh, those, look what those white cops have done now. And what I want to get back to is, hey, I know that that's Officer Mike. A guy told me that this morning. You know, I know you, Officer Mike. I know you're not like these other cops. That's important for members in our community to realize that the men and women here are not the same as the men and women in California or Florida, and vice versa. We're human beings. We make mistakes. We've taken steps to address implicit bias in our own officers and to be good men and women following the laws.
And so it sounds like you're really invested in community outreach as one of the people who's involved in creating this program. Why does it matter to you as a person?
Well, because I'm a person. You know, I would not want a member of my family to be unfairly policed, policed by a biased officer against them. As a human being in a civilization, I trust that we have rules that are put there for the good of all, and someone has to enforce them. I believe that by being a decent person, no matter what your occupation is, you have a chance to make the whole world better. And so I'm all in on that. You know, I'm a police officer. I'm proud of what I've done. I'm also proud to be mending relationships and building new ones and branching out and collaborating with the community. I don't want to just show up, find out what happened, and go to the next call. I think that's where police do themselves a disservice and the community. But it's absolutely important to me. I just think that I have a chance to be part of the solution.
Where would you like to see community outreach within the next year?
If I had my way, in the next year, we would expand our team, and because that would take some of the load off of our patrol officers, even though we take officers from them. And by that, I mean anecdotally. I don't have the statistics on top of my head. Our three strategic neighborhoods, the call volume and the types of calls have decreased, so it seems to be working. Part of that, I give credit to the community. You know, people are no longer tolerating dangerous activities in their neighborhood because they feel like they have somebody they can call who has a vested interest in their neighborhood. But I'd like to see the unit expand. I'd like to see more public collaboration where we have more meetings. I don't like meetings, but just chances to give and take a little bit. And I think we're right on the horizon of that. I feel like that's just over the hill. I think within the next year, if I had my dream come true, we would just have more officers doing this and more citizens actively involved, and a discussion forum where the police and the citizens and people who may be unhappy or very happy with the police could sit down and say, hey, this is going well, this is not, this is what the law says, this is how we want to go from here.
And is there anything else that you want people to know about what community outreach policing is or what it looks like today in Columbia that we haven't talked about?
You know, if people could just understand that police officers are human, they're doing the best they can, just like the guy that cooks your hamburger or signs your mortgage payment or sells you a car. We're just human beings. The other thing is that we need more citizen cooperation. Allowing citizens to look at what we do and be part of it seems to me to be the best way to heal our community and our nation in the end. I mean, the outreach unit is really trying to get to know people where they're at and form relationships at work, not only today where it looks good, but tomorrow. I mean, if, God forbid, something horrible happens in our community, a tornado, an officer-involved shooting, you name it, the more people who say, I'll do my part right. That's what I'd want them to know about this unit is we're striving to do our part right and to somehow make an atmosphere where they can do their part right and we can work together.
That was Sergeant Mike Hester of Columbia's Community Outreach Police Unit. This is Intersection on KBIA, and today we're talking about community outreach policing in Columbia. Next, we spoke with Lorenzo Lawson, Executive Director of the Youth Empowerment Zone. You were on the mayor's task force on community violence.
Yes.
And one of the specific recommendations was that there be more community outreach policing. Can you tell me about what it was like to be on that task force and how the task force reached its conclusions?
Well, I was pretty much the one who kind of pressed that issue. And it's because I was born and raised in Columbia. And back then, police officers did walk the beat.
Mm-hmm.
The police officers knew, like I was raised by my grandmother, I'm a product of that of coming up in poverty. Single-parent mom with four other siblings, you know, teenage mom, and all the trappings of that poverty. And my grandmother raised me, but the police officer, they knew her by name. So anytime I was in the community doing anything that I shouldn't have been doing, they would go to my grandmother. And that kind of kept me, you know, in line, so to speak. If you don't know people and people don't know you, well, that's where that distrust come in. And the only thing I know about the police officers is what I'm seeing on television and the few encounters that maybe my friends have had or what have you, then that distrust is there. And it takes time to form a relationship in any kind of way. So you got to get out, meet people. They got to know your name. You got to know their name. They got to come to trust you enough. One of the biggest problems is crime is happening in these neighborhoods, in these very poverty-stricken neighborhoods, and people see it. People know who do the crime, but they don't trust the police enough to report it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's making the police their job way much harder because they can't solve some of these cases. Then it keeps the neighborhood unsafe, and it perpetuates that whole criminal element controlling the environment through fear and threats. So really, you know, that's one of the reasons why I was insisted in, come on, we need to get back to community policing. Because if I get to know Officer James, so to speak, and he knows me, then I feel more comfortable going to him and saying, you know, I know there's some suspicious activity at this particular house. I think you need to watch it or what have you. You know, and it gives people that are good citizens, simply because they're poor, don't make them bad citizens. It's just that's the lot they have been given.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got to survive the best way they can, and they still want a safe community. They want a safe community to live in. They, you know, right now some of the elders are afraid to sit out on their porch on a nice evening when, you know, it used to not be like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, it bothers me. Because, I mean, when I was growing up, my friends and I, we could be, you know, we get out in the evening, the summer evening, and people would be on their porch. And that kind of deter you from doing things. You know, people watching.
Right.
And they will wave at you, call your name, and all of that. Well, of course, Columbia done grew, but there's still a sense of neighborhood that people would love to make it into a safe neighborhood and get to know one another. People are not interacting like they should. And I think that one of the reasons is they are afraid.
And did you feel like when you presented the idea of community outreach policing, was the city there like, yeah, this is a great idea, let's do it?
Well, we did some research. And what we did was come up with some places where it's working. We brought that information to the committee and conveyed it to the police chief and the city manager. And I think that helped sell it. The problem that I see right now is, number one, is just not enough officers. And I can understand that. You know, we're talking about economics now. It comes right into how you pay for them and all of that. So that's another ball of wax, so to speak. The few that we have, I actually was on the interviewing panel,
mm-hmm,
to choose these officers. And in my opinion, we got a great group of officers that's in that community policing. And so it's going to take some time.
Right.
That's the key. You know, I have been interviewed on it a couple of times. And the question is it working? Mm-hmm. Well, it takes time. You know, again, it's all about building relationships in those communities. It takes time to build relationships. You know, these officers got to be there, and they got to be seen, they got to be known, and likewise, they got to know the people. So it's going to take some time to see some results, but I'm optimistic about it. I believe that it's going to work because I've seen it. And I don't think, you know, one thing about people, we got different thoughts and what have you, but people are people.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes down to it, we are made to be sociable. And that sociability, that's where the relationship building come about. And that opens up opportunity.
Sergeant Hester was saying something very similar yesterday that, you know, if you know somebody, you are less able to have a stereotype, have a bias because you are in a personal relationship. And
right.
That sort of doesn't leave as much space for those things.
Exactly. And that was one of my main argument, you know, and I took it a little deeper than that, that if you know somebody, you less likely to pull the trigger on them. Unless your life is truly in danger.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these police shooting, that's not the case. But by these officers don't know them, and like you said, they got this stereotype about people, it's like shooting a blank person, or in your mind, this is a very bad person.
And have you heard any feedback from the people you work with about the community outreach policing?
I haven't gotten any negative things
mm-hmm.
because it's still new. You know, these officers, they are still new. They haven't kind of figured out who's who yet. So it's nothing right now that is making an effect because pretty much these people kind of know when they're going to be on, when they're going to be in the community. So once they learn patterns and stuff like that, it's no big deal to them,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I kind of translate it. I mean, my analogy is, and my wife, I don't think she like it. I said, it's like if you got a house and it's roach infested, and you do the bomb, okay, it might kill some of them, but the rest, they go on someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it is in that underground economy. If you concentrate on this neighborhood, you can get that neighborhood right. But a lot of them just going to move someplace else.
Does that mean that community policing has to exist in pretty much every neighborhood to really have an
effect?
That
would be – that's my preference. Mm-hmm. In order for it to have a true – I think that that's what's going to happen. Now, of course, your influential neighborhoods, probably not. The ones that really got the vibrant and active neighborhood watch, probably
mm-hmm.
not. But these pockets of poverty – yes, because that's where these elements, they prey on poor people. And the reason, because poor people are looking for instantaneous relief from their conditions. And that's where drugs, alcohol, and these type of things come in. You know, it gives them, you know, that temporary escape from their reality, which is so harsh. So they turn to drugs and alcohol. And that's where if there's a demand, then somebody gonna fulfill that need.
And in a higher income neighborhood, I imagine that people are not going to hesitate to call the police. They're
exactly.
gonna see the police is on their side
exactly.
and somebody who will help them, right?
It's not their enemy. You know, I was telling the police chief and the city manager that a couple of years ago, during the summer, you know, there was a bunch of people fighting in the streets, and it blew up to be something pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
The police came, and there was several officers down there. And there was a gentleman who have owned this house. You know, of course, the neighborhood have turned over, but he wouldn't sell his house. He didn't give it up. And he came out to speak with the officer to let him know what he saw. And soon as he walked up, he said, "Officer, shut up, back up, and if you don't, I'm going to arrest you
mm-hmm.
for obstructing justice." He wouldn't let the guy even say. So when I pulled up, he knew me, and he said, "Bishop Lawson, I tried to tell this officer that I seen it all." But then he explained to me that the officer was just so rude. And I said, "Well, number one, you got to understand that this officer is pretty nervous right now with the crowd and everything. And the first point of his duty is to get control over the crowd. Now, you're right. He didn't do that. I mean, that ain't the way you do it. You know, you still got to be respectful. You know, but some of them, they believe that you got to be that way, else these people don't respect you." But anyway, long story short, I said, "Come on, let me get the information and we'll get it." And I had to convey that, you know. It's things like that that make the citizens that are good citizens that live in these poverty communities don't want to cooperate with police officers. How they've been disrespected and how they look at everyone in the same lens, stereotype, that no matter that you are, because you're poor, you're a criminal. And that's something that we got to change.
What would you like to see sort of in your ideal world where, you know, the Columbia Police Force is better funded and it's larger and it can expand programs? What would you like to see the community outreach policing look like in a year or 5 years?
I would definitely want to see it more diverse and more African Americans on it.
Mm-hmm.
The police force, period. I would love to see it more diverse. I think that that makes a total difference.
That was Lorenzo Lawson, Executive Director of the Youth Empowerment Zone in Columbia, talking about community outreach policing. Thank you for joining Intersection for our conversation with Sergeant Mike Hester of the Columbia Police Department and Lorenzo Lawson of the Youth Empowerment Zone. We wish you a wonderful Thanksgiving and hope you'll tune in next week as we talk with newly elected Missouri State Senator Caleb Rowden, and the week after that when we return to the topic of community outreach policing in Columbia. Our music is Montana Skies. I'm Sarah Shariari for Intersection here on KBIA 91.3 FM.